The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Actually, Grant's Pass a little deaf this morning. KBXG has a fault of some sort. Got to try to figure that out this morning. And 105.9 ended up partially dying over the weekend. So you'll see me up in Grant's Pass a little later today with my my engineer's cap on, looking like Wile E. Coyote. You know, hopefully not, sticking my fingers into the into the sockets and frying my eyebrows. Nothing like that. How you doing, Dr. Powers? Good to have you back on. Always good.
I like that, Wile E.
Yeah.
You are Wile E.
Yeah.
But I don't know about being a coyote, and you wear so many hats. And well, making sure we get the news and what's really happening.
Well, you'll laugh here, but at the radio station, Scuba Steve gave me a patch a few months ago, and it has a picture of Wile E. Coyote like getting shocked, and it says, "Trust me, I'm an engineer," So that's where that reference came from. Okay,
I've got to ask you. I know you scale transmission towers and you do a lot of different things.
No, I don't. I don't climb the towers anymore. I don't do that.
You don't do that anymore.
No, I don't do that. I just go to the sites now. I don't. Climbing. Have you looked at me? Do I look like a tower climber? The tower, the climber.
I bet you in your past you have been.
Yeah. One time in my career, that's just it. I was a 19-year-old idiot, okay? But being that as it may. Hey, Doc, let's talk about, a service which helps 19-year-old idiots to elderly people and everybody in between. It's just a wonderful service. This is the Where Past Meets Present segment where we talk about a wonderful institution that is just doing still great work, and it's still around today. And it was the beginning and today of Mercy Flights. A lot of people are members of Mercy Flights here, and it's a fascinating story how it ended up getting started in Southern Oregon back in the day. I was wondering if you could break that down for me.
Yeah, it's our 75th anniversary. Actually, George Milligan had returned from World War II. He was a military pilot. And he became a Medford air traffic controller in the old tower before, it was replaced.
Was that the old tower in which the mail plane would come in and would have to dodge the race cars on the track? Is that one?
Well, actually, that was the first one. There was another tower before then, but I love that because that goes all the way back, Bill, when you had biplanes coming in. And actually, the only way that we could fly then was the fact that we'd get in the back seat and we'd be sitting on a mail pouch when it went from Medford to Portland.
Yeah. But, you'd be sitting on the mail bag. You'd actually be sitting on the mail when you were in that plane, right? It's amazing.
Can you imagine? And also when you landed coming back was the fact that you had to dive over horse races and even car races, because that's where the old field was.
Needless to say, we were kind of a little town in those days, weren't we? Huh?
Oh, it was. That's the reason why it's grown the way it has, because people say, aha, this is not Los Angeles. In any event, he became friends, being George Milligan, with Art Weintraut, who was a football star, past football star for Medford High. But he was struck by polio, which is that deadly disease, 1949.
A lot of people were. It was pretty much a big deal. And of course, trying to get treatment in Southern Oregon in those days, that was a tough deal, wasn't it?
It was very difficult because, polio is one where I was quarantined for 2 months because a friend of mine I played with came down. So I really understand what this is about. But in getting it, the iron lung was the only thing that allowed this respiratory system disease that paralyzed the system was the only way you could breathe. But then, as you're pointing out, the interstate highway system had not yet been built. You just had the two-lane old Highway 99 that had all the steep hills and switchbacks.
Yeah, and didn't that – how long did it take back in those days? What was it like?
9 hours.
9 hours to drive from Medford to Portland, and now we think about it as about 4 hours, three, 4 hours. Right?
Well, part of the reason also for that was that they had to go ahead and try to stop over to get some emergency breathing in Eugene and then heading up. But the thing was that George then decided to buy a surplus military plane.
Oh, by the way, we forgot to mention that his friend died on the trip. He died, during the trip. He wasn't able to make it to Portland. So this gave George Milligan the idea on, doing something about that lack of medical transportation, right?
absolutely right. But the thing that was about it, though, is the fact that even though this was 1949, what you had was that it was going to be the first nonprofit air ambulance service bill in the country. And here you had community fundraising, school children, Boy Scouts, individuals, community organizations, $1,500 to buy the first Mercy Flights airplane. It was a twin-engine Cessna known as, guess what, the Bamboo
the
Bomber.
The Bamboo Bomber, huh?
And the Bamboo Bomber was the it was actually used for that to spot Japanese encampments.
So that's where it got the name from, the World War II reference then, right? He was a spotter.
And then at the same time, Mercy Flights created the membership program, which was, it was set at $2 then, so that if you became a member, very bright way of doing it, that people not only could contribute to the first start of this entity, but Bill, also they were able to become a member. And what that meant was that if you became a member, if you had insurance, that would cover the bill, basically. And also the fact if you didn't have insurance, it would be cut to half. But all the way through, it then, because of the community endeavor and because of the way the community just really came out for this bill, you had a second flight, a second airplane, mm-hmm. That could carry a heavy iron lung, a saving iron lung, that was named Rogue's Wings of Mercy. But then you had the new model that came in that same year, which was called Iron Annie. So this is 1952. But in any event, it was also used, which I did not know, in the explosion in Roseburg that had to do in the late 1950s of the nitrate truck that exploded to bring in emergency medical supplies and personnel because you couldn't get in there because of the damage.
Wow. You know, that nitrate truck, I'll bet you that it doesn't get talked about a lot in Oregon history, but it probably should. Late 1959,
yeah,
can that happen?
We've brought it up before. We could bring it in again. And what it was, is it was that it was due to several different mistakes that were made, but you had a truck filled with explosives right in downtown Roseburg. Where a fire caught outside where it was parked, and then all of a sudden you had this explosion that killed people, cratered everything, national news, and how do you go ahead and get personnel and people in there?
And Mercy Flights was part of that rescue. Mercy Flights was then part of the relief, wasn't it, helping out then?
But then what happens, unfortunately, in 1985, as you're going through, George Milliken and three others died. This is another one that your listeners, I know, recalled, died less than a mile from the Medford Airport when the airplane lost power. They were coming in from Gold Beach. And then from there, it just evolved. You know, it's as we've seen with different types of entities, whether it's ScienceWorks, whether it's Mercy Flights, Lithia, or wherever it is, Dogs for the Living and Dogs for the Deaf, what you have is this incredible first throughout the country because people saw a need and they weren't muzzled by the government in terms of meeting that need, which is now you have the fact that the government comes on and says, oh, well, we've got to tell you how to do it because we know better than everyone else. You know, Big Brother comes in. But now Mercy Flights employs 115 people. Bill, it has three King Air C-90 airplanes, which are pressurized to 30,000 feet. They are able to cover within 1,000 miles of Medford, which, you know, whether it's for emergency going into different types of hospitals or burns or whatever it is, you really have that real need. It also has the air ambulance service because it purchased, this goes back to when I first got in here, 1992 or so, they purchased two area ambulance services. And what really is amazing to me is here you have it grows from Spartan beginnings to where it is a leader in medical transportation. And Bill, it's our nation's first nonprofit air ambulance service. And I did not know this until I was working. I was actually working with Mercy Flights. And I have to have a shout out to Ashlyn Blakely, who is there, who works and is our membership manager, where we worked on this together. Its ground ambulance service transports some 24,000 patients a year, and it's flown more than 40,000 patients throughout the Western United States. Then you take a look at other types of entities that came in afterwards. First of all, there's more for profit. This was set up right, and it really shows how this region is one we can proud of. We got to really vote,
yeah,
you know, today and, to keep it.
And you think about, you know, back on the other aspect of this, the helicopter in your profile today, which I'm going to post on KMED.com. The helicopter, as an example, can get someone, let's say you have a critically injured burn patient. You know, it happens. You know, you hear those kind of stories here. Someone's in a car crash or whatever ends up happening to them. There is a house fire. And you can get someone to the critical burn unit over at OHSU within,
an hour and 15 minutes? Yeah.
An hour and 15 minutes?
That's very true. But you see, most of their emergencies, you know, are on-scene emergencies. And heart attacks, car crashes, you know, injuries, hunting accidents, fishing accidents, outdoor activities where they can go ahead and get that helicopter into a place. And in this area where we all enjoy that, there's a safety factor here. You know, you always have to be careful in the outdoors. I mean, you know, Mother Nature can really be bad at times. But in any event, the helicopter service was an adjunct that came in, you know, after the first mission was set up. I mean, it's an amazing story, and I'm really happy, you know, for you and for your listeners to profile it because it's a shout-out for our region, for our area.
And I've considered it one of the biggest nonprofit bargains that we have down here in Southern Oregon, for sure, all right? And once again, it's the past and the future of and present of Mercy Flights here. Dr. Dennis Powers on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. Let me grab a quick call. I don't know if a caller has a question or a comment on the Mercy Flights. Hello. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Hey, Bill. It's Wild Salmon.
Yeah, Steve, do you want to comment with the doc on the profile here?
Well, yeah, my grandmother was transported to Portland on the old bamboo bomber.
No kidding.
So it must have been back in the early 50s. And my uncle went with her, and it wasn't pressurized, and he almost froze to death because he just had a shirt and pants on. He didn't have a jacket.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And it took a couple hours for him to be able to take off, and my grandmother was in the fuselage with her head toward the tail, and that was a tail dragger. She'd had a stroke. She was partially paralyzed, and she was complaining like mad because her head was downhill, but they made it. One other thing, the Rosenbaums are another interesting group of people who originated here and developed the aerial bomber thing.
Oh, yeah, and you know, Wild Steve, I think there's a picture you should try to take a look at and find. Over at the Southern Oregon Historical Society that I've seen, that it could very well be on that flight that you're referring to. And I'm glad you brought up that point because it shows what they did to meet the need. And then the second plane that they got, which is just a year or so afterwards, was one that had the ability to carry more medical equipment, and that's the reason why the pressurization, as you saw it developing over time, was really as good as it is. I'm glad you called in for that story because you might want to check with the Historical Society to see about that picture.
All right, very good. Steve, appreciate the call there. Hey, Doc, before we take off here, how about a quick present on the politics? Is there anything jumping out at you? I mean, I think the last few days have been wonderful days for the Trump campaign, for sure. I think momentum's certainly building. They're calling it pretty much a toss-up nationwide, but I don't know. I'm thinking that between the betting markets and in the way the Harris campaign is behaving, it seems to me that the desperation out of the Harris campaign, especially pulling out the Hitler card to me, strikes as they must not be doing all that well, or they don't think they're doing well. What do you think?
Well, that is the inference. That's what we feel. The concern I have is knowing that the far left doesn't give a damn about this country. It's about keeping power, and where the Bush-Cheneys, you know, they're out there going ahead and not voting for Trump at best. Be ready and be keep the fight on, guys. Keep the fight. And the reason is that look what happened to George Bush the second, if you will, where just he was in the same type of apparently leading, and then they talked about his deuce in the New York Times 3 days before.
Oh, so you're thinking there could be yet another October surprise before the election at this point? Because I was thinking that the pulling out the Hitler card was like, okay, is this the surprise now? We're going to go there? I don't know.
Bill, it's something that they have. They have $250 million that they can throw out now, from the oligarchs that really don't want to lose their power because what they did, like Kerry, was traitorous. And regardless of Trump, my friend, saying he's not going to investigate them, the rest of us say there should be something about what Kerry was doing at the RAND that led to the war. There must be something about Clinton and Kerry, where both of them say the Constitution is what's in the way of climate change.
Oh, I know. Well, the Constitution's in the way of everything, really, all right? Hey, Doc, before you take off, I thought I'm thinking this is interesting that should the latest surprise that we should expect to hear the national news pounding today being all about the jokes told by the comic at last night's Trump rally here, supposedly a little off color with Filipinos and blacks. You think is this? You know, to me, I'm just looking. Hey, it's a comic. Comics are there to be offensive, but you know they're going to pound this today. Just brace for it, right?
You know what it comes down to is that with the media. With the emotionally deprived far left, if they find one thing, this is a joke that was made by a comedian that he jokingly described a U.S. territory being Puerto Rico as a floating island of garbage. Bad taste, of course. But on the other hand, what you have is that I know about Puerto Rico and the far left is trying to get Puerto Rico in as a state because it would be welfare. I mean, it's a very unfortunate country that's been devastated by a lot of different things, from hurricanes to actually cronyism. And my dad used to go down there some years ago to help in building a plant for a large pharmaceuticals company. As a matter of fact, when he was going there, Bill, he was hijacked to Cuba. He loved the
really?
Puerto Ricans, but he said the corruption in that country was something he had never seen before. So this whole thing is one where you have a comedian that was saying he has not Bill backed away from this at all. He loves Puerto Rico and vacation there, but he goes ahead. I got to tell you, he feels that people cannot go ahead and take jokes. I think it was in bad taste, but I'll just leave this in terms of the fact that he said it was wild that a VP candidate would take Weiss or Wentz out of his busy schedule to analyze a joke taken out of context and make it seem racist. Mm-hmm. They're doing everything they can. The far left cannot be trusted if they get in. Trust me, they're emotionally deprived.
All right. Appreciate the call. Hey, we'll catch you next Monday, the Monday before the day, okay? We'll catch you then, Doc. Be well.
All the best and take care.
Dr. Dennis Powers, retired professor of business law at Southern Oregon University, where past meets present. And we do that every Monday here on the Bill Myers Show. It's 8:32 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Yeah, we'll be doing some work getting everything, all the signals back on today for whatever reason. We got some technical issues. I guess it's Monday, right? Yeah, it's just Monday. Monday and a rainy Monday on that matter. But, boy, technically looking at gold this morning, 2741. It was like 2746 at some point. Man, oh, man, oh, man. You know, I think what is probably more likely, I mean, not that I'm any expert on gold, but I've paid enough attention and talked to enough people who are experts on this thing that I think really what's going on is Mr. Gold is saying that neither party, whether it's Trump, whether it's Kamala Harris, will end up getting control of the spending. No one's running on stopping spending. So they're going to figure that the inflation play is still there, along with the central banks and everybody purchasing gold and silver. Russia's now buying silver, too, for that matter, silver at $33.71. So if you're thinking about this, good plan to diversify some of your savings here, some of your wealth into physical gold and or silver. Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers, the recognized experts you need to visit. They're one of my longest, old-time, reliable sponsors. Just great people there. 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. Call for your appointment at 482-3715 for the Grants Pass store. Or just show up in Ashland and talk with Mark and Andre and the rest of the crew. Good people, and they will help you craft it. And it's just honest sales and selling. What's going on? Sales, you know, buy or selling. Either way, Jay Austin and Company, gold and silver buyers. They're recognized experts. FortuneReserve.com on the web.
I'm Claudette Moore, former Medford City.
Where the customer is king. You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Gino, you put 2,000 miles on a rental car in Puerto Rico. Tell me your experience there. You did that a couple of years ago. What was it like?
Well, two winters ago, I went down there. A friend of mine bought a place, and I rented a car, and I put 2,000 miles on it down there. First, I drove the entire perimeter, and then I zigzagged back and forth across the mountains and basically explored the entire island. There is garbage piled everywhere. Every 200 feet, there's a pile of old bed frames and rusted washing machines. There's garbage everywhere.
Really?
Also, people know down there, you're driving along the road, and the road's real nice, da-da-da-da. All of a sudden, you enter a different county. I don't know what they call a district. And all of a sudden, the roads are all crumbly. And so I started asking around, what's going on here? Oh, when the roads are crumbling, that's because you have a corrupt administration in that district, and they're basically running a game. Where you have the clean roads and the roads are or the areas cleaned up, that's where you have a less than corrupt administration.
So you're able to see the honesty level of your administration depending on how the roads look. What a great indicator, huh?
That's what I was told. By the way, that's what I was told. So every 200, 300 feet, there's a pile of bed frames, et cetera, et cetera.
Wow. Okay. So this is now, of course, it was in poor taste probably to tell the joke over at a Trump rally yesterday with that comic, but in other words, he made a mistake by telling the truth. Is that what you're saying?
No. When people are exposed, when their proclivity for larceny is exposed, then it's your fault for pointing out the sociopath's problem.
Got it. All right, Gino, thanks for the call. Matt, I only got a minute or two here. Go ahead and fire away. What are you even observing? Let's hear it.
All right,
observing.
Well, I was holding a sign on 6th Street on Saturday that said, "No more wars, vote peace, vote Trump." I got some interesting responses, but it got me to thinking. I've had a few conversations with young men, and I'm telling them, I said, you know, you're registered for selective services. I didn't know what the cutoff date was, but you don't have to register once you're 26. So between 18 and 25, you must. So I just,
now, don't you find it interesting? I was just talking with Dr. Carol Lieberman this morning that age 26 is when your brain develops, and at that point, you are smart enough not to sign up or have to sign up. Is that what's going on?
At that point, as a male, you're becoming who you are, and it's tough to break you down and mold you into a group. That's the reason for that. But so here's the deal. So I pull up who must register, and I'm just going to cut to the part that blew me away. I called on your show probably a year ago and said one of my biggest fears is that when they can't recruit anymore because people don't want to serve under a particular administration, they're just going to put illegals in the military. So guess who must sign up for selective services? Permanent resident immigrants, refugee, parolee, and asylee immigrants, undocumented immigrants, dual national citizens, lawful non-immigrants, or on current non-immigrant visas, and then seasonal agricultural. I'm sorry, those last two don't. But refugee, parolee, and asylee immigrants must register for selective services. Why the hell is selective services requiring people who are not citizens to register for a draft? If someone throws the hammer and says, "Hey, we need a draft because of Ukraine or the Middle East,"
think what you're just saying there. This could be one of those things where the regular folks in America don't want to fight a globalist war either. A globalist war. I'm not talking about a war that would actually threaten the United States of America, but most of the wars that we're fighting right now are foreign policy wars these days. And so if you're not going to get your regular native population to sign up for it, well, then you need to import a more pliable, a younger, more vigorous, more pliable population willing to do the killing. What do you think?
Well, think about all these dopes who are crossing the border. All these young military-aged men.
Huh.
Did somebody tell them that if you come over here, that you're going to have to register for a potential draft? Like, you could literally, if you came here from the Middle East, you could find yourself right back in the Middle East wearing a U.S. flag on your uniform.
Huh. I didn't realize that they were doing this until now. Now you're going to make me look this up, too.
I'll send you the link, Bill. I'm looking at it.
Right? All right. You send me a link. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, Matt. Thanks for that, okay? It's 19 before 9.
News is sponsored by Valley View Nursery, your only nursery with online pricing. Visit valleyviewnursery.com. They're closer than you think.
Us and Klamath Falls.
This is News Talk 106.3 KMED, and you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
Michelle Exner joins me. She's the Senior Advisor for Parents Defending Education. Michelle, great to have you on. And what is Parents Defending Education all about? Give us the mission overall before we move on.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a nonprofit that is focused on empowering parents and exposing some of the bad stuff that is happening across the country. And so that's the part. We believe transparency is key to parents knowing what's happening within their children's schools. And so our main objective is to make sure that we're empowering parents with that information.
Over at Parents Defending Education, are you sitting around in the circle and looking at Oregon's educational rankings in the public schools and laughing and pointing and going, ha, ha, look at you, number 47 in the country, ha, ha. Do you ever do that, or are you more polite than that?
You know, I bet there's a correlation. You know, you've got the San Francisco School District in there as well, schools that end up wasting time on non-academic things, right?
Uh-huh.
On progressive radical politics that shouldn't be in classrooms, right? These should be neutral learning environments for children. That is not an area for radical activists, employees to use classrooms to push their agenda. It's wrong. And so, I think there's a direct correlation with districts are wasting time on non-academic things. And of course, the reading and math proficiency scores are suffering for it.
I think it's interesting that you put a piece in the Washington Examiner. There's an op-ed that you wrote called, and this is one of my greatest irritants in the leftist worldview these days, in which it's most famously done here in Southern Oregon in the library districts. The land acknowledgments, the stolen land. Everything is stolen. Oh, it's just horrible. We have to sit here and, you know, back when in 1980, I remember watching a movie, I think it was called like The Meaning of Life. And there was almost a parody of this. It's like, dear God, we are so bad. We are so very, very bad. We are the most horrible people in the world. You can't possibly love us. But you write that this is really about getting the kids to hate the country, right? Is that really where you're getting at? These stolen land?
Absolutely. I think that is ultimately the objective, right? These statements are completely just a waste of time, right? And it's making these children probably feel guilty for being American, feel bad, right? That they think that America is responsible for this. And it's wrong, right? We have long established that July 4th, 1776 was the day our country was founded. That is why we celebrate and recognize that day every year. And unfortunately, now you have these individuals that are saying, like, we're on stolen land, right? And this is how they kick off school board meetings. This is how they integrated in different areas of the school. And again, ultimately, right, what's the goal here, right? Nothing's been given back, right? There's no land being given back.
Oh, well, there's never any advocacy for doing that. But
of course not.
But it tends to downplay the reality of land and property in general. Michelle, and that is that the only land that anyone ever has, any government, any tribe, any group ever has, is the land that they're able to defend from being taken by other people. Because you look at the history of the human race, and it's been that people conquer other countries, conquer countries, and tribes will conquer other tribes. I was just reading a book about the Modoc Indians here in Southern Oregon and Northern California, and how they were the poor Indians contrasted with the Klamath, their enemy, you know? And, you know, the Klamath would steal their land, they'd battle and steal land back, you know? And you see all this. So whose land is being stolen at this point? It's always a matter of who is able to defend it, is who the owner is, really, right now. Isn't that the fair way of looking at history, really?
Yeah, it's been happening for centuries, right? And so this progressive illusion that it's just started now, or I also think it goes back to this obsession with categorizing everything between the oppressor and the oppressed, right?
Okay.
There's this need to categorize every you know, countries and people and different races into these ideological boxes that either you either check a box that says you're the oppressor or you're the oppressed, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of these progressives probably see America as a land of oppressors, right? And it couldn't be more wrong, right? I happen to be very patriotic, served this amazing country in the Marine Corps. And so this is not what we need to be teaching children. It's totally wrong. And again, these are young kids. They shouldn't live their lives believing they should feel guilty for being born in this country. And unfortunately, it's very widespread. I know you said you've seen it firsthand in schools in Oregon, but also a report by Parents Defending Ed has uncovered that it's at least happening in 155 school districts across 21 states. And when we break that down, it's about 5,000 schools and something that impacts 2.7 million students, right? About the population of Mississippi. And so these are all, unfortunately, students that are being exposed to this anti-American propaganda.
Now, are parents starting to push back against this? Is there any evidence that they're saying, hey, would you just knock it off? I mean, the entire world history is about people conquering one another, really. It's not that it's great, but it's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah, I think it might be something that perhaps has flown a little bit under the radar. I think it's going to start gaining more traction, right, as folks start paying more attention, right? I think in 2020, I think what happens was what I call a parent awakening, right? First it was, hey, these school districts, they were supposed to help my kids out.
Parents were actually seeing what was being taught. They're going, holy moly, what is this stuff?
Huh? And then the next phase was, oh, wow, what's happening, right? I wanted schools to be open, but now what are they teaching? And so I think the more, you know, the more that they're exposed, the more they're paying attention to, I think the more they're going to start raising these red flags about these issues. I think it's more common now to see parents speaking out, whether it's on Title IX issues of having males play on female sports, whether it's parental exclusion policies that we're seeing pop up. That is something else that Parents Defending Education is tracking. And so I think the more we see, the more parents have the bravery to speak out, right? I think they see that they're on the right side of the issues and that they have a huge group of people behind them that feel the same way.
Michelle, do you think there's any evidence that we might be seeing a further weakening of the public education system? Because just about every district that we know about in the public realm has been actually losing population and losing student enrollment. And I don't think it's just all demographics. Part of me thinks that it's people searching for alternatives and taking their children out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it comical when Randy Weingarten, the head of the one of the largest teachers unions, said, you know, why are more people homeschooling? Why are more people leaving public education? And it's like, well, you, right? Look in the mirror. You were one of the main culprits behind this. And so I think, public schools, they let a lot of kids down. Kids that didn't, you know, unfortunately, the ones that were more vulnerable, right? The ones where the parents didn't have the means to get the tutor, right? Get the pod with the teacher that could homeschool them during that time. And so I think there's this mistrust that has grown over the past couple of years. I think it's going to take work to rebuild that. I think schools are going to really have to listen to their community, parents, you know, parents in the neighborhood. Obviously public schools, there's going to be a need for them. And so I think that's why we're completely invested as an organization to make sure that we're creating influences to change things in the right direction.
Parents Defending Education is the group. Michelle Exner is the senior advisor for this. And I'm going to link up to your land and labor acknowledgments, teaching students to hate America. What is Parents Defending Ed's main site? Can you give us that site real quick before we take off?
Absolutely. So we are at defendinged.org, and we encourage all of your listeners to go on there and see everything that we're finding across school districts. We have an indoctrination map where we map out every single instance, whether that is anti-Semitism we're seeing in schools, whether that's parental exclusion policies, whether that's race-based policies that we're seeing. So encourage your listeners to go on there. And please reach out if there's anything you're seeing in your particular school district that you'd like to work with us to expose.
Michelle, thank you so much. Good talk. Great having you on, okay? You be well.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Michelle Exner from Parents Defending Education. 853 KMED, 99.3 KBXG. I want to give you another phone number. A lot of times my personal cell phone is very close to this next one because sometimes I confuse myself. I'm going to say it slowly. 541-261-5444. 261-5444. You know whose number that is? That's Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. He's the man who, along with also help on the Medicare side of things with Lynn Barton, will help you fight for a better insurance rate. Lower rates, better coverage, maybe for the same amount of rate. Maybe just getting coverage in general if another company has canceled you. Because Steve is a independent. He doesn't work with just one company. He has many, many different companies that are within his stable. And he did it, for me as an example, saved me about $500, $600 a year on car insurance by competing. And I ended up dumping one company, going with another one. And if he'd only sold that one company that was charging me $1,200 a year, boy, I would have been hosed, right? So the whole idea with Steve Yancey at Sky Park is don't let yourself be hosed by the insurance industry. Talk with him, okay? I don't know if that's an official term. Bill says doesn't want me getting hosed or something like that, but just call him and get a quote, all right? 261-5444, 541-261-5444. You can also find out more about Steve, skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
What's the latest, greatest, most refreshing and sustainable beverage in the Great Northwest? Why, it's KRRC Cola. We've pulled all the stops to bring you a torrent of taste you'll not soon forget. We start by sourcing our pristine water straight from the Klamath River. KRRC Cola is loaded with essential minerals and contains only 100% natural ingredients that exceed all federal standards for safety and purity. Want to change that brain fog into a mighty rushing river? KRRC Cola is the drink to help you think. It's the beverage you can drink once and think twice. No more Gatorade, no more Perrier, no more anything, because you'll never thirst again after you try your first bottle of KRRC Cola. We're destined to be the heavy metal hitter in the Great Northwest. These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the EPA, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, or Warren Buffett. Don't let the taste fool you. It's really good cola. KRRC Cola. KRRC Cola. Iron Gate Bottling Company, Happy Crab, California.
I can't wait. I want a bottle. I just want to see. How thick is it? It's probably brown bottle, right?
Hi, I'm Matt Stone, owner of Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on 106.3 KMED.
By the way, thank you, Mr. Todd, for that that new sponsorship of KRRC Cola. I think we're going to be playing that a lot over the next few days. Anyway, you be well. Have yourself a great day. I'm going to get on the road and see if we can get 99.3 fixed and 105.9 back on. So if you see me scurrying around with my little engineer's cap on, you'll know what I'm up to, okay? But anyway, email Bill at BillMeyerShow.com. We'll be talking about all the good stuff tomorrow. It'll be Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. I'm sure you can find a pebble or two before Election Day, right? We'll see you then. You take care.
Rule number one.
Southern Oregon's place to talk. KMED.
Real estate agent. Hey, it's Lars. And why? It starts with an overall knowledge of the area. But even more importantly, a local agent is a friend and neighbor who cares about the community just as much as you do. In the Medford area, that'd be my good friend Jared Hokanson of Hokanson.